several ways the Holy Spirit empowers us as we journey through the blessings and challenges of living. We've known the Holy Spirit to be our comforter in times of grief, illness, and stress. We've known the Holy Spirit to come alongside us in our weaknesses, in our deepest longings, with prayers and groans. The Holy Spirit reveals to us what we need to know and gives us clarity to move forward. Before Jesus ascended to the Father, he instructed the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for power from on high. They were to go to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey what Jesus commanded, with the promise that Jesus would be with them always. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, and Pastor Karen brought us a powerful message of hope and love as we offer ourselves, who we are, and what we have been given in service to our Lord. The widow in Zarephath gave what she had. Peter and John gave what they had. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. Lord, come. Help us listen to you today as we meet together. So today we're focusing on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for the strengthening and encouraging of our faith. We find overlapping lists of spiritual gifts in several places in the New Testament. For example, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 14, and Ephesians 4 and more. The lists differ and none of them is exhausted, but yet we know the Holy Spirit is the gift. And there's many manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 1, 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I long to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift, so that you may be strengthened, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7 says it this way, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Well, Timothy's one of the pastors of the early church, and he was responsible for the oversight of some of the churches while Paul was in prison in Rome, and Timothy's Paul's son in the faith. So Paul writes to Timothy. Paul has others who've come and gone, and Paul relies on Timothy at the end of Paul's life to bring him his cloak, his books, his parchments, and he appeals to Timothy to come before winter. So in the second letter of Paul to Timothy, Paul writes with encouragement, advice, and admonitions. The sermon today is called Stirring Up the Gift. Stirring Up the Gift. Now let's read our key verse for stirring up the gift in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. The New King James Version reads, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." The Amplified says it this way, "That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination." Stirring up the gift. Let's think about stirring up trouble. That's not what we're talking about, but if you read scriptures about stir up, you're going to find some people stirred up trouble. Like we were praying this morning and Pastor Karen brought up Nehemiah. You know, there were There was Sanballat and Tobiah, and they were stirring up trouble. But Nehemiah got the wall built, right? And if you're reading in the book of Acts, there are people who are stirring up trouble. We're not doing that. We're stirring up the gift. Okay. Now, let's think about stirring sugar in iced tea. I grew up in the North, and you didn't have sweet tea in the North. They just give you tea. Truth. They give you tea, and you get cubes of sugar or packets of sugar. Well, you get to have sugar down at the bottom of your glass then, because you got to stir it up to make it sweet. I didn't know until I moved south that you use hot water to melt the sugar and then all is well. But if the sugar's not melted, it needs to be stirred when it sinks to the bottom of the glass and separates. Well, the Greek word in reference to stir up the gift of God is this big long word, anazoporio, which means to kindle anew, rekindle, or resuscitate in context of a fire. The New Revised Standard, verse 6, reads, "For this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that's within you through the laying on of my hands." Here we see Paul's admonition to Timothy to rekindle the gift of God. Rekindle reminds us of fire. When we go camping and we build a fire outdoors, we start with a little pieces of kindling. Dry twigs, pine straw, dry leaves to catch fire. And they burn quickly. And then we need to fuel the fire with larger pieces of wood that take longer to burn. Well, if we want to have a fire that lasts, we keep stoking the fire, giving it oxygen and fuel. When we had a campfire at Tamara's in May, we covered the wood in the rainstorm so it wouldn't get wet. Then we used kindling to start the fire and kept adding to the spark that lit the kindling. We added larger pieces of wood as the fire could take them, and the children helped bring the wood. Rekindle means keep fanning the flame. Timothy is to ignite the gift God has given him. He's to preach and teach like a person on fire, to develop his giftedness for ministry. As we go to the gym, we develop our muscles by exercising them. When we do not exercise our bodies, our muscles are not toned. As we operate in the spiritual gifts, we exercise the spiritual gifts by practicing them. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says it this way, "Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ." Yes. 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us to continue in the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we may prophesy. In his May 7th sermon, Pastor John talked about the gift of prophecy and how the Holy Spirit works in ways to encourage, strengthen, and comfort in prophecy. And if you missed that message, the audio is available online. So we continue to pray for those who want prayer. We prophesy over the ones we've been called to encourage, comfort, and exhort. And we know the purpose of spiritual gifts is for edification, building up of the body of Christ, with each part doing its part. Everybody gets to play. We know that the Holy Spirit came to indwell and empower believers on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is one of the three persons of the Trinity ever existing. Before time existed, the Holy Spirit existed. Long before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was active in creation, brooding over the face of the waters in many places in the Hebrew Bible. And one of the places that's highlighted and burning in my heart this morning is where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, visits Ezekiel the prophet. And I want you to turn there. In chapter 1, you can read chapter 1 later, but Ezekiel sees a vision that's the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. It's so powerful. I mean, we sing songs about the wheel within the wheel and all the things. But Ezekiel saw the wheel. When he saw it, he fell on his face and he heard the voice of someone speaking. And the Spirit of God goes with Ezekiel through the book. Ezekiel sees visions and proclaims things and does things. But chapter 37, we come to the place where the Spirit of the Lord takes Ezekiel to the valley filled with bones. Dry bones. And you may remember that song, them bones gonna walk around, right? Okay. Well, let's look at verses 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. These are the bones of the dead, the slain of Israel, slain by their enemies, bones not buried, out in the valley, bleached white from the sun, no flesh on them, no breath in them, the remnants of what was once a great army, defeated, dead, no life. And amid this devastation, the Spirit of God asks Ezekiel a question in verse 3. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Well, what do you say when you're a prophet of God? You've seen the glory of God. You're brought by the Spirit of God to a place of devastation. And the Spirit of the Lord asks you a question, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Here's a case for using the wisdom of God to turn the question back to God. Ezekiel answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Good answer. When we're faced with a valley of devastation and the evidence of dry bones is all around, the answer is not in the circumstances we see, but in the God we've come to know. It is possible for God to give life to dry bones. It is possible for God to cause the bones to rattle and rejoin together, for flesh to come to the bones or breath to be breathed on the bones. And yet here we see the Spirit of God asking Ezekiel to participate in the vision with prophecy. The Spirit of God instructed Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, to hear the word of the Lord. Look at verses 7 and 8. "So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them." Well, here's the first phase of restoration. The bones rattled. They were stirred up. They came together. Sinews and flesh came upon them. Skin covered them, and yet there was no breath in them. So we remember in Genesis when God created humanity, there was the forming of the body and then the breathing into the nostrils. Here we have the forming and reforming of the bodies from the bones out to the skin. And then the second step, the breathing, the breath of God, the pneuma, the spirit. Look at verses 9 and 10. "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." So we see the work of the gift of prophecy in partnership with the Spirit of God in seeing what God wanted to do happen through prophesying to dry bones and prophesying to the breath. They lived and stood on their feet. The prophecy of Ezekiel goes on with the promise of future restoration of Israel. Now, turn with me to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. And there is a connection, I promise. "But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift." Hear it? each one of us, every one of us, was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Continuing in verses 8 through 12, therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does that mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. He, Jesus, himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. These gifts are given, why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. And then how long? How long? Until, verse 13, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Hear it? The whole body is joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped. Each part is working properly and promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we see that each one of us is gifted. Each one of us can hear the word of the Lord. Each one of us can prophesy and see bones come together. Each one of us are empowered with the Holy Spirit of God. We affirm and activate the gifts that have been given to us, and we do not let the embers of the fire die down. When Jesus ascended to the Father, the Holy Spirit was sent to indwell the believers. We need to stir up our faith and trust in Jesus and continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. The psalmist encouraged himself in the Lord. Remember, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Psalm 42. David talked to himself and encouraged himself in the Lord. And we can stir up encouragement too when we're downcast. We can intentionally place our hope in God. We have so many in the world today who are suffering indescribable pain and loss, famines, hunger, lack of fresh water, diseases running rampant, wars, rumors of wars, unexpected bombings, violence in the streets. We have gifts we can stir up to help, to send assistance, to care, to be generous, to pray, to provide clean water and supplies to the needy. We ask God what our part is to do, and then we do it. We have the power to act, power to serve, power to live. And as Paul said to his son in the faith, Timothy, stir up the gift of God which in you, fan into flame the fire of God in you. As Paul had a legacy in Timothy, we have a legacy in the ones we walk with, lead to Christ and disciple. We're empowered with love, discipline, generosity, grace, and hearts that are tuned to listen and obey God. We have this high and holy calling to fan into flame, to stir up the gifts of God in us and among us for the glory of God and the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Come, Holy Spirit, we eagerly desire to stir up and flow in the gifts you've poured out in the church for the building up of the body of Christ. Empower us to hear your voice and notice your nudges. Help us to fan into flame the fire you started in us. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you and all of us peace and joy this week. Amen.